Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name's Spencer. I play Caddo Chasseur, a cleric from Gavany, who has a pet dog called Pickle.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I play Laura Greyvale, and she is a sorceress from the province of Nephalia.
Hello, I'm Colin, and I play Quinn de Greymont, a paladin from Flarbon in the province of Gavany.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I play Ogvar Shawfort, a goat-herding, mushroom-seeking ranger from Kessig.
Companions collect themselves a task at Contract Valor. An argument breaks out in the bar, resulting in a throwdown on the doorstep as the guild empties and takes its troubles out into the town. Deftly ducking and diving in a bid to avoid injury and ditch the disturbance, Ogvar and Allura extract themselves from the madness of the melee. Upon arriving back at the House of Avacyn, they hear the somewhat surprising news that their holy friend has handed his services over, seeing a series of important tasks through for the city of Selhoff, and will not be playing his part in the party for the foreseeable future. Gerlok dished out a welcome distraction to their disappointment by delivering on her gambit to procure a cart and a quad of quality horses. The party can now make a move for their onward journey to Jenrix. Unable to leave without sharing some serious sentiments with their newfound friends, time was taken for some to shed a tear or two over the fond farewells and a somewhat gracious and gallant goodbye that lingered just a little too long for our sorceress stirred more than just a little colour in her cheeks. Join our party again next week as they slide out of Selhoff. Episode 99, Fond Farewells.
Snyder's Return is a tabletop roleplay interview and actual play podcast. We chat with content creators from both mainstream and indie publishers, and we release actual play episodes of systems like our City of Mist game, Meddlers, Monsters and Madmen, and more games coming in the future. We also have a TTRPG review show on YouTube, Fly Like a D6. Come and check us out. You can find us on Twitter at Return Snyder, Instagram Snyder's_Return. You can find us on YouTube at Snyder's Return, Discord, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
I think after taking our leave from everybody, saying our goodbyes, I think we would probably collectively walk down to wherever. Who is it? The saddler.
Yeah.
The horse master.
The horse master.
Go down to the horse master after getting directions as to where that is, but go down to the horse master.
Yep, Gerlok gave you directions.
Yeah. And go down and when they get down there, I think Allura would say, Quinn, do you think that we should take a set of bridles and saddles for these horses? I mean, there are four of us and there's four horses, just in case we've got to unhitch, in case something happens or we can't, you know.
Yeah, I suppose we could. I don't know how much they are, but
no.
Have you ever ridden a horse?
No, but you know, needs must and all that. She's going to ask the saddle master how much it would be She's going to ask the horse master how much it would be for a complete set of tack per horse.
The horse master is a jolly looking guy. He's got like this big apron on, and you can see various bits. You can see little hoof picks and brushes hanging from his hanging in the pockets in his apron. You see rags kind of, you see a rag loop through one of his belt loops. He's quite a portly guy, big belly, big chunky hands. He's not a small guy. And as you approach, he is actually currently tussling with a stallion, you would say. The stallion's not having much of it, but neither's he. He very quickly calms the horse and sends it on its way. And he turns to face you, and he's got this kind of bushy hair, quite a rosy sun-kissed complexion. He would tell you that it will be 6 gold pieces per horse for saddle and bridle.
That's no problem. I'll pay for those at the old fund as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, just in case. You never know. We can always sell it on with the horses later.
Yeah, we've got plenty of feed and we've got plenty of space.
Yeah, we'll do that, I think.
I suppose if we've got a bit more space, seeing how we haven't got Caddo and Pickle, but hey-o. Would have been nice for them to come along, but hey-o.
Laura would have sort of introduced herself and said that Gerlach obviously had sorted out horses for us and a carriage.
Yeah,
wagon.
Yeah, he nods at you. How many days' worth of feed are you taking? It is 4 copper pieces per day per horse.
Well, I was originally thinking 14, just in case. I know we could probably do it in a week, but depending on what happens, if you never know, if we've got 14, that will be 56 coppers.
Times by 4, so yeah. 224?
Yeah, coppers.
Coppers, which is...
not many gold.
1 gold, 6 silver, 8 copper.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Can we afford it?
Yep.
Yeah, so we will purchase, Kewin will purchase 14 rations of feed per horse.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. Which we will load onto, or get somebody to load onto the wagon for.
Can we see the horses?
Yes, I will get to that in just a second. Is there anything else you wanted to buy alongside this? There are things available such as saddlebags, other bits and bobs. Is there anything else you wanted to buy?
I think as that's all being dealt with, Ogvar would just walk over to look at the horses.
Yeah, okay.
Might not be bad idea to have 4 saddlebags.
Might as well kit the horses out.
Yeah. Anything anybody else can think of?
I'm happy to give you what you want, mate.
Okay.
To give horses the water out of, that might be useful. A bucket for the horse water.
Oh, I just got rid of my bucket.
You still got the bucket on his head?
No, I haven't.
we'll get 4. Might as well get 4 saddlebags. Nothing else, they can carry the feed.
Yeah, I mean, we might as well kit them out. And how about a bucket?
I'd get at least 2.
A couple of buckets.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, we're going to need some water barrels as well, aren't we?
Well, yes.
Best get a barrel of water from somewhere as well, just in case we don't come across a natural water source. There is a river, but that's days away.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust that.
Okay, so the horse master basically offers you for 350 gold pieces, you will have the horses, the wagon, enough feed for 14 days for 4 horses, saddles, bridles for each horse, saddlebags for each horse, and 2 barrels of water and 4 buckets.
Okay.
Ogvar. As you go over to the wagon, you can see that it is a very nice-looking wagon. It's clearly not a cheap wagon. It's very well crafted. Looking at the wheels and all the mechanical parts of it, you're not the most proficient in that kind of thing. But you can tell that it looks really sturdy, looks really stable. You can't see any obvious signs of rust or wear and tear. There doesn't appear to be any loose planks. It appears to be a very, very sturdy carriage. And what it is a reasonably sized goods wagon. It's got quite high sides. You can see on the inside there are benches. And there's obviously like a, a driver's bench at the front. The inside there are benches, and the carriage sides are tall enough for you to kind of lean against. There does appear to be on the floor inside the carriage what looks like kind of a couple of corner posts. They're just like wooden, big thick wooden dowels almost, and you could say they'll probably fit into the corner of the wagon, and there is like canvas fabric, so you could, should you wish, actually put the fabric along the sides and across the top and turn it into a covered wagon.
Convertible.
The horses are currently hitched up. They are different. You can easily distinguish them. There is a bay, there is a dun, there is a skewbald, and there is a roan coloured horse. They all stand reasonably tall, about 40, anywhere ranging between 14 and 15 hands. You can tell they've probably been picked out to be a similar size because it would make them more efficient in pulling the carriage. They all look very well cared for, very well groomed and fed. They all look bright, alert. The dun is a little sprightly, perhaps you could say. It paws at the ground impatiently and tosses its head in the air every so often, snorting about. It looks calm, it's just impatient. They look to be really, really decent quality horses, decent quality wagon, and you could say you've probably got yourself a very good deal. As the transaction goes on between Elora Kewin and the horsemaster, you can see there are a couple of young lads, obviously stable hands, and they begin to arrange bits of tack for the horses, and they begin to just pop them into the wagon itself. And you can see the stuff, feed begins to be loaded up, as does water barrels, and it's all packed away really efficiently to maximise the amount of space in the carriage. So, Kewin, Elora, you are with the horsemaster, and Caddo, sorry, you're with the horsemaster. Are you gonna pay him up, yeah?
Yep.
Okay, so you pay him up. He happily pockets the gold, and he passes on, obviously, a couple of words to you on how best to care for the horses, how best to look after the wagon, how to hitch them up correctly. You know, he's not going to send you off and send these horses off with someone who isn't going to look after them properly. He's telling you how to care for them.
And Elora would have paid attention to that.
Yeah. And, yeah, so you now own a carriage and four horses.
Oh, it's a carriage, not a wagon.
Carriage or a wagon?
Wagon.
Sorry, wagon, sorry.
So Elora will bid the saddle master goodbye. She'll thank
horse
him.
Master.
And the horse master.
Horse master. Jesus.
Elora would bid the horse master thanking him for the really nice quality horses and carriage that they've got. And she would then bid him goodbye, and she would go stand by the wagon and wait for the others to come out, I think. Incidentally, okay. She would have filled her water skin before she left the church as well. Just stay.
Yeah, I'd assume you'd have made sure you had everything with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
these, they're really nice horses. This is a great wagon. It's even got a cover. That's pretty cool. So, who wants to drive the horses then?
Well, I'll have a go, but I didn't really take much notice on the wagons, I'm afraid. I was too busy looking backwards.
I can give it a go, I suppose.
Ogvar, you're a man of the woods. You've dealt with animals in the past. You're quite a calming influence. Maybe you should have a go, and we'll just bumble along. See how you get on with it. We can always take it in turns.
You were good at it, Ogvar. Remember when Ricky let us have a go? You were good.
Yes, I think I may remember bits and pieces of it. I'll learn on my feet, as they say.
Yeah. Okay, then we'll do that. So, Laura's just going to hop up on the wagon. And say, come on, Esther, let's get a place on the back here.
Well, we'll climb up onto the driver's bench.
Yep.
Okay. Kewin will go by the side of him.
I shall walk alongside with you people till you get to the city gate.
Okay. Are we all ready for the off?
Yeah, I think so. Caddo, you walking with us?
I shall walk you to the gate, yes.
Oh, that's great. We can say a proper good boy then, can't we?
Okay, let's stand back when I attempt to start.
I've got to go. Yeah, where's the ignition?
Well, I think I've left the handbrake on.
It's got a keyless start.
So yeah, Ogbar will talk to the horses. Okay, then you'll find animals. It's the beginning of a nice long journey for us all, but I think we'll all come out of this better acquainted at the end. So if you'd all wouldn't mind. And off we go. And you give the... I assume you give the reins a bit
slap
of a flick.
The reins.
Yeah, we'll do that.
You're a natural fella. You're an absolute natural.
Okay, so make me a...
Oh, no.
It's been watching Little House on the Prairie, hasn't it?
Drive wagon check.
Animal handling.
Okay, make me a handle animal check, please.
Okie pokey. Ooh, that's going to be good. That's going to be a 22.
22. Yeah, the horses, as soon as you kind of give the reins a bit of a flick, the horses, you see the ears flick round on the horses as they swivel, obviously paying attention to you. The dun at the front is quite sprightly, it beards prancing on the spot, and then they all begin to move forwards. And they move forwards at a steady, controlled pace. The dun is perhaps a little frisky, wanting to get on a bit faster, but obviously it's attached to the others and it can't really go anywhere. Yeah, you start making your way to the city, towards the southern exit. This southern exit is something you would have been told about by Ruth. It's a lesser used exit because obviously there's not much down the south. But it is a little exit, just about wide enough to get a carriage through. And it is very rarely used, but it is passable. Okay, so you make your way down to the southern exit, and it doesn't take long, even with the city crowds, it doesn't take long to make your way over to the gates. There are a pair of guards stood there. They look quite sleepy. This is obviously not a place which is used that often, but they see you coming and they begin to open the gates, and you see the one of them, there's this big wheel with these big spokes, and they begin to turn the spokes on the wheel, pulling it clockwise direction, and it begins to raise this kind of this portcullis style gate.
Well, I guess this is it, guys. We're actually leaving Selhoff.
Oh, yes. It's not been too bad here, really, has it? Once you take all the child eating and
killing and the murdering and the thieving,
the underground arena, it's not too bad of a place, really. I'm sure it'll be better all the more once Caddo is got a firm grasp of things.
Alora's going to look across, seeing as they've come to the gate and presumably just stopping as they're going through the gate, and turn to Caddo and say, "Well, my friend, it's been a blast. I mean, you know, we've travelled together, ooh, I don't know, 3 weeks or so. I mean, I feel like I've known you a lifetime, but..."
Has it only been 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Caddo is ready.
It's been a pleasure. I'm sure our paths will cross again, and we know where you are, so you know we can write or whatever. I'm sure at some point we'll come through here again. I wish you all the very best of luck, Caddo, with what you're doing here. I'm sure you will make a grand job of it.
Yes, keep the good fight and look, make sure you keep, you know. I know you enjoy your food, but don't forget to keep it trimmed just in case you get it all sorted and rejoin us for some more baddie thrashing.
Oh, well, the good news is you've got horses now, so I won't have to do any more walking.
Oh, yes, I suppose.
I mean, I'm not religious in any way, but, you know, I guess the appropriate thing to say is, may Avacyn be with you, my friend.
very kind, and also with you.
Yes, quite. And look after the bishop. I think it might be a bigger job than you may expect.
I have suspicions that it might be why Ruth asked.
Yes, quite. I think you might be fighting him for the cookie jar.
That'd be easy.
Alora's going to lean down and she's going to give Caddo a kiss on the cheek.
Oh, heavens. Well, that'll definitely make him blush. I mean, heavens above, he's a man of the cloth.
Esther will similarly lean down and give you... She'll give your slightly pudgy cheeks a pinch, give you a kiss. She'll go, oh, make sure you eat well, dearie. I don't want you wasting away.
Oh. I'll be fine. I've got Ruth to look after me now.
And bless her, Esther. Esther promptly bursts into tears.
Alora produces a square of fabric that she'd cut out, actually, as a second gag that was never required.
You're going to gag Esther?
Because of Kewin's over-enthusiasm with the second guard, and she just gives it a shake to uncrumple it, and she hands it over to Esther to use as a tissue, a makeshift tissue. Yeah.
Esther dabs at her eyes quite primly, and then proceeds to blow her nose with a noise which can only be described as trumpet-like. It's quite impressive.
Yeah, well, Kewin's going to turn round and he'll go, well, I'm not going to kiss you, but I will shake your hand, good sir.
Lovely to have met you, sir, and fair travels, and I'm sure Avacyn will look over you as you continue with your quest.
And you, sir, and good luck. Yes. Awesome.
Right, I shall start by knocking these two gate guards into shape, I think. They're rather slovenly, aren't they?
Yes.
Well, Alora's going to turn to Caddo and just say, right, okay, I hate long goodbyes. Let's go. I'm sure we'll meet up with him again.
Yes.
Let's go.
Okay, let's see what these horses can do.
Go on, Phil.
he cracks a whip and gets him going a bit quicker.
Oh, she nearly
made me
off.
A handle animal check.
Oh, brilliant.
I didn't expect you to leave at the gallop.
Ooh,
12!
Wow. Okay. You set off at a slightly quicker pace than you were expecting. As the horses lurch forwards into a brisk trot, damn near running over the one gate guard as you shoot out of the city.
What happens to Alora? Because she stood on the back of the wagon, she just bent over to, to kiss the cleric.
Make me a balance check.
Balance.
You spend a lot of time falling out of
well,
transportation.
You know, you may as well carry on. Well, that's a 16 all in. She's quite surprised.
No,
but
you'll be all right with that.
Yeah, you're left kind of half hanging over the back of the wagon, but you are able to stay in there.
Whoa! Ogvar, that was a bit sudden.
Sorry, I've only just passed my test.
She's going to sit down abruptly and hang on to the edge of the bench seat with both hands.
Caddo, as the rest of them disappear through the gate, you see Alora's kind of half-crumpled form get pulled back into the wagon. And hanging from a tag at the very back of the wagon on the very bottom, you see a wooden plaque, like a little placard, a wooden little placard.
What's it say? Just married?
No, it's going to be a learner plate.
With what appears to be the letter L carved into it.
Hey!
Excellent. Well, I shall chuckle to myself. Chuckle to myself.
Does Esther have to make a balance check as well?
No, she sat back down to blow the nose trumpet.
Ah, right, okay.
I shall wave them farewell as I head over to the gate guards and start to give them instruction on how to look less slovenly at the gate.
Okay. So, you leave the city of Selhoff. The landscape as you leave, you're then travelling up the other side of this valley. So Selhoff is situated in this kind of deep V-cut valley leading out into the coast. So as you leave, you travel up the other side of the valley. And it's quite steep. It's quite screechy. That's a word. The track is narrow. In some places, it's quite overgrown with foliage encroaching onto the track. And more than once, you kind of have to use one of your swords, Kewin, to just push something out of the way of the wheels or detangle the wheels. So as you pass at the other side of Selhof, you plateau out back onto what is fairly level ground.
Is this a is this a less used track?
Yes, it very much is.
Right.
It's quite overgrown.
Okay.
As you plateau out onto this fairly level ground, the track, the road that you travelled in on, it was wide enough for two carriages, one going each way. It was quite well worn. This is very much not that. It is single track, very, very overgrown, but you have now opened out onto almost like a kind of a grassy plain. There aren't any trees, or you know, the trees that you can see are far off in clumped together little copses, and the ground flattens out, and you're left with this kind of almost a very tundra kind of grass, this long spiky grass.
What kind
of patches?
Sorry, what kind of day is it?
Okay, so it is at the moment. You're leaving just after lunchtime, effectively, probably about 1 o'clock. You're leaving at this point, and it's been a fairly okay morning. It's been clouded over. It's been overcast, but the clouds are a light grey. They don't look particularly heavy with rain, and there's a relatively gentle breeze blowing across the bluffs. As you travel outwards, you're probably travelling for 2 hours before you come to you begin to hear the sound of rushing water. Clearly the other side of the city where you've got on your map, you've got this river. You are now approaching this river. And in front of you there lies a bridge. The bridge itself is clearly not well maintained. It's quite overgrown with moss and lichen. It's wide enough to get a carriage over. And it is, at this point, the bridge is probably about 15, 20 foot long.
You okay there, Ogvar? I can hear water.
Oh yes, it appears we have a bridge to cross.
Oh, Alora's going to sort of pop up and move up towards the front of the wagon, like round, just dodging round the stuff on the back of the wagon and just take a look.
It looks a bit rickety.
Is it like a flat bridge or is it like a hump bridge over the... What sort of bridge is it?
No, it's a flat bridge. It's a flat bridge, made of wood.
Does it look as if it's designed to take a horse and cart?
Yeah, it does. It's wide enough to take a cart, and it most definitely has been designed. It's not like a footbridge. It's most definitely, you know, it was designed to take a cart over it, yes.
Okay.
Do you want me to test it to see how it looks, or are we just going to go for it?
Well, if you walk across it and you don't fall to your demise, then it might take a horse. It might take four.
Well, just walk ahead of the carriage, yeah. Kieran, and just see if there are any really loose planks or anything like that. I mean, I'm sure it's fine. People come in and out. There must be supplies going. This is the only road out of Selhof that comes down this way, so...
Okay, well, Kieran's going to attach a bit of rope to the lead horse, so if he does fall, he's got something to grab onto.
Okay.
And he's just going to check the planks as they go across slowly. To see if there's any problems that he can spot with the whether they're creaky or missing or rotten.
Yeah. You take a couple of hesitant steps onto this bridge and you don't get any sense that the planks are unstable in any way. It's hard to hear any creaking over the sound of rushing water, But as you take a couple of steps, you get obviously a little bit more confidence. And yeah, you'd say that this is actually a fairly solid bridge. Although it's coated in kind of lichen and moss, and you know, it doesn't look the greatest. It is very solid.
Yes, it looks okay. Although it looks quite bad, I just think that's because there's been no travel, same as the track. But it looks actually fairly firm.
Mm. Looks okay. Well, try jumping up and down a little bit, Kewin.
Okay. What?
Okay. So, yep, you jump up and down a bit, and yeah, it's pretty. You think it's fine?
Okay. Ladies, if you are agreeable, we should continue across the bridge.
Yeah, it looks solid enough. Kieran says it's solid, then it's solid.
Okay, I shall endeavour to cross the bridge.
So we'll bump around in the back of floor the it. Wagon.
Floor it. Can't floor it, because I'm in front.
Roadkill.
Okay, so yeah, you gee up the horses, give them a bit of a click, flick of the reins, and they begin to take steps across the bridge. Are you belting it? Are you keeping it slow?
Yeah, just keeping it slow, just plodding along.
Yeah, the horses are. They seem a little bit hesitant. The dun throws up its head and prances around a bit.
Calm down to the front.
They do very, I say very slowly, they slowly cross over the bridge. And you make it to the other side. And I'm assuming you pick up Kewin on the way.
Maybe.
It's not that kind of Uber.
I've still got my rope tackle against one of the horses. So
okay. So you jump it on, or?
I'll jump on, I'll untouch the rope and get back on.
Okay. Like it. So we get across to the zone. Well, it wasn't so bad in the end. Is everybody okay?
Yeah, we're all good actually. Yeah.
Okay, let's go on then, horses. Let's go. And we'll continue to follow the path.
Okay, so the rest of your day passes in relative peace. You make your way, and the path, there is a defined path. Although it is clearly not used often. You leave the river behind and continue onwards. It gets to early evening, the sky is darkening. What are you doing?
Well, this is back out on the road again. It's, I suppose, getting dark. We need to make camp for the night. I haven't done that for a while.
No, you're right, actually, Ogvar. Yeah, we're back to sleeping on bedrolls. That's kind of got used to sleeping in a nice soft bed. The accommodations were very, very comfortable at the church.
Yes. Have we seen any like the little stopover bits that you used to see before?
Oh, what, the ones with the warding?
Yeah.
No, you haven't.
Okay. Should we find somewhere in the next hour or so to stop if we find a suitable location?
Yeah, see if you can find somewhere with a little bit of cover, if there are any trees or something. Just if we find somewhere, pull up there and we'll just pull the wagon off the track. And I don't think we should go too far off the track, but
okay, so we'll continue for a little bit longer, and if somewhere that looks good to camp, we'll use that if there is anywhere.
Okay. So, make me a survival check, please.
Uh, 29.
Oh! Right, okay. So, you are able to find, just off to the one side of the track, inland side, there is a large stone outcropping, which almost forms a kind of natural overhang, like a sheltered area. Not a cave, but it is this big stone outcropping, and it is looks very solid to your trained eye, Ogvar. You'd say that it's very clearly very weathered, but it looks very solid. And it's a nice little alcove where you say you could set up, you know, the carriage, picket the horses, and get yourself sorted for a camp. Yeah, it's really nice. It's a really good little place to stop, actually.
Okay, so well, this place looks good. Got a bit of cover, and you know, get the horses off the road and park the wagon up. And everybody okay with this?
Yeah, it looks good to me, Ogvar. Laura jumped down off the back of the wagon, and she'll make her way to the front, and she'll call Esther. Esther, do you want to come and give me a hand with the horses? Let's just get them unhitched and perhaps feed them and water them, I think. Just settle them down. Give them a break.
Okay, dearie. Okay. I'll be right over.
And that's what Laura's going to do. She's just going to start unhitching the horses, making sure to memorise how the hitches worked and the straps and how they went, and then just unhitch the horses, and then she'll just get some feed off the back of the wagon and water them while everybody else makes camp.
Okay.
Yep. Kewin would start setting up all the tents for everybody. And start a fire. Nice little campfire going.
Circle the wagon.
Okay, yeah.
We've only got one.
Yeah.
Yep, so you set up a decent little camp. It's a pretty good camp, actually. I assume you're going to use supplies, you're going to use up some of your rations, you're going to use feeder for the horses. So if you want to take those off...
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure one of us has got some cook pots and stuff like that.
You'll have all the necessary kit. All right. But obviously you'll have to use some of your rations because you haven't got fresh food with you, have you?
Laura probably, she'll take a ration out of her pack and use that up. But she'll also throw some of the apples into her. She'll use a knife to peel a couple of the apples and core them and whatnot. She'll take a couple round to the horses, and the rest of them she'll put into a cook pan, and she'll just do some stewed apple as well for everybody.
Okay, yeah, sure. Okay, so you have dinner, you make sure the horses are fed and watered. Overnight, are you going to be setting watches?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'd just take it in turn to do watches. I mean, order of watch doesn't really matter. We'll all take a watch overnight.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, do you want to know the order of the watch?
If you just quickly decide between you, just split it between... just however you're going to split it, yeah.
2 hours each, or three people, 3 hours?
Yeah, sounds reasonable. Three threes.
Three threes.
You've been concentrating on the old driving, Ogvar, so I reckon you probably could do with some sleep, and we'll take 3 hours each.
Okay, sounds good.
I'll fit in whatever you ladies would prefer.
Oh, that's fine. Laura would do the graveyard shift quite happily.
Okay, first one, early hours.
Or that second
one? No, that's over midnight hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Esther?
Yes, dearie, just pop me wherever. I'll go wherever.
Okay, well,
Esther can do the 9 till 12. Alora will do the 12 till 3.
And I'll do 3 till 6.
And Kieran can do the 3 till 6.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. So, first up, was it first up Esther, yeah?
Yep.
Does somebody want to make me a 75 to 25, high or low?
High. 75, high.
High. Yep, okay. So Esther's shift passes very, very very quickly, very quietly. You can see she's tended to the fire. Kieran, when she wakes you. Is it Kieran next, sorry?
Laura,
sorry. So when she wakes you, Laura, you can see that she's tended to the fire. She's clearly ventured out a little ways and found some more dry firewood to put on the fire. She's clearly tended to the horses. They look brushed and they're resting. Yeah, so she wakes you up. She says, oh, dearie, it's your turn for watch, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine. Thank you, Esther. You go off and get yourself some sleep. It'll all be fine. I got this.
Okay.
And out in the distance, you hear a...
Is that Cuban farting?
No, that's Cuban snoring.
Much the same effect.
One's okay, intake and one's so... outtake.
Amazing. Elora, high or low? 75-25.
Low.
Okay. Good, 20. So, Elora, your shift passes with nothing in sight. You take a look around. It's a very, very quiet evening. And, yeah, you, the end of your watch quickly rolls around.
Right, she's going to...
Waking Kieran?
She's going to get up from where she's been sat, and she's going to have a stretch, wander over, and she's going to rustle on Kieran's tent, go, Kieran!
Yes.
Hun, it's your turn for watch.
Oh, no problem.
It's all been quiet, no issues.
Just give me 5 minutes, I'll just put my armour on.
Yeah, sure, no worries.
No, actually, Kieran wouldn't have taken his armour off, because Kieran doesn't need to take his armour off, because it's light armour.
Yeah.
Right, OK.
Yes. So Kieran comes out.
Kieran, your shift, 75-25, high or low?
High!
Singing paladin.
97, you're good.
Whoa.
Okay, so your shift, Kieran, you maybe hear some slight disturbance off in the distance, but when you listen for a while, it fades away very quickly. You'd say it was probably a good distance away, nowhere near the camp. The horses are quiet all night. There's, you know, you have the soft crackling of the fire accompanied by the odd low wicker. And yeah, it's a very, very peaceful evening until morning rolls round. Okay, so you wake up in the morning ready for another day's travel.
As the team wistfully walk away from the cathedral and their newfound friends, Caddo accompanies them to the stable master's stalls where they familiarise themselves with their equine acquisitions. The personal belongings are packed, provisions and tack are paid for, and with wagon loaded, Kewin, Elora and Esther climb aboard. Ogvar takes the reins, and with his giddy-up buttercup routine, fond farewells and a somewhat sudden start, they leave both the city of Selhoff and Caddo, their clerical companion, behind them. Now, travelling the trail, the team trundle south towards Jenrik's Tower. Hey! You made it this far, so lend us your ears for a moment longer if you will. Firstly, we are most humbled that you are enjoying our yarn, and the crew thank you from the bottom of their hearts for your patronage. Producing this podcast is incredibly hard work, and as such, if you would like to support us, there are a few ways in which you could really make a difference. Sharing links to friends and family helps to spread the word so others like you can find us and in turn they too can enjoy the show. Equally helpful is leaving a 5-star review on Spotify and any other streaming services, which will help us immensely. Or, if you feel you could go that extra mile and contribute a few coppers to keep our creative juices flowing, you can hop on over to our Buy Me a Coffee page or drop us an email. We would all be immensely grateful for your support in any form. Lastly, we invite you to visit our website, where you will find information on our campaign from backstories to settings. Join our Facebook group or follow us on Twitter. All the links are in our episode bios. Don't forget to smash the subscribe and download buttons so you never miss the next episode. See you all again next week, folks.